love when we sing songs and they just minister to our heart and they just guide our thoughts to our gracious Father. I know we just prayed, but let me go ahead and we'll just go before the Lord. Gracious Father, we glory in your abundant mercy and your kindness to us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who enables us to trust you, who shapes our affections and desires to honor and glorify you. Be with us now, Lord, as we once again come to your word, convict our hearts with your truth, and encourage our souls. Father, as you draw us closer to you, in your precious name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I trust you had a wonderful small group, a great spiritual reflection time, studying that just beautiful song, and that your free time was pretty fun too. As I walked around and saw what everybody was doing, I was very encouraged. All of the conversations, and just I loved it. In our last session this morning, we learned from Psalm 62 four essential principles. Four essential principles that, when obeyed, they enable us, true followers of Jesus Christ, to experience daily lives that reflect the truth that we are unshakable. That's our theme. Lives that are rooted in the unchanging nature and character of God. They are trusting God alone, always, adamantly, and for assurance. That's what we looked at this morning. And as we've already seen in Psalm 62, David displays a remarkable unshakability, a spiritual resilience. This firmness, it was not a product of self-reliance, but was the fruit of a heart that was rooted deeply in the unchanging nature of God. David stood firm and confident in the midst of the troubling situation he was in, not because of any innate strength that he had mustered up in himself, but because the Spirit of God had been faithfully at work deep within his heart. It was the Spirit who had anchored David in the truth that God alone was his rock, his salvation, his fortress, his refuge, and his hope. Empowered by this inner work, David could declare with bold confidence, "I will not be shaken." Yet it's helpful for us to remember that David's unshakability, his trust, unshakable trust, it didn't arise instantly or effortlessly. It wasn't like God had saved him and boom, he was good, right? Even as a mighty warrior of the Lord, he faced seasons of deep trial and uncertainty that did shake him for a time. And I know as you read through your psalm this afternoon, you saw that. There were times in David's life that were deep trials. And through these varied and often emotional trials, the Lord, by the Spirit, was cultivating in David a faith that was steadily being rooted even more deeply in the truth that in God he was unshakable. The Spirit used every circumstance to grow in David this spiritual resilience, a strength that enabled him to withstand the fiercest winds of life without fear. And like David, all true followers of Christ are enrolled in this Spirit school. Through both calm days and stormy ones, to entrust ourselves wholly to God. This enduring trust is a gift and it's a growth that the Spirit accomplishes within us as we yield to His work in our lives. The path to living out the truth that we are unshakable is therefore, it's a Spirit-led journey, shaped by circumstances that test, refine, and strengthen our trust in the Lord. As we walk this path, it's crucial to recognize that our spiritual resilience, it's not accidental. It's grown intentionally. As we become mindful of the ways the Holy Spirit works in and through us. And so for our time together this afternoon, I'd like us to consider four key elements drawn from Psalm 62 that, when rightly understood, they help to anchor our daily habits and actions even more firmly in the truth of our unshakable standing in Christ, all for the glory of God. These key elements, and Morgan will put them on the board for you, are providence, posture, position, and perspective. Providence, posture, position, and perspective. And together they form the outline for our time together this afternoon. Point number one, providence. This is the necessary understanding. The necessary understanding. If you've been following along to Pastor John's teaching on Ephesians 6, I know some of you are visitors and you can listen to those online. I would recommend it. They're excellent, excellent, excellent. But if you've been following along, you'll remember how Pastor John emphasized that the Christian life is a series of battles. We have an enemy, Satan, and his host who want nothing more than to see us shaken, to watch us crumble under the circumstances of this world. And while Satan cannot cause the true follower of Christ to ultimately fall or be shaken, that is, to the place where we lose our salvation, because as we know, that is not possible. When we fail to understand divine providence, we can unwittingly allow Satan to shake us to the place where our sanctification is hindered, our witness is damaged, or we lose the confident assurance necessary to live as we ought. Therefore, this first essential element that we must rightly understand and be grounded in is the reality of divine providence. Divine providence, it refers to God's active, caring, and sovereign oversight of all creation. His continual provision, guidance, and purposeful orchestration of every detail in the universe for his glory and the good of his people. This first essential element, it's not merely a theological concept. It's a living assurance that God's hand is actively weaving every thread of our lives, both seen and unseen, into a tapestry that serves his purpose and our good. Nothing escapes God's notice. Every joy, every trial, and every moment in between is under his sovereign providential care. When we rightly understand divine providence, we realize that even in the midst of uncertainty or hardships, God is present and he is purposeful. He's never absent from our circumstances. Rather, he's orchestrating them. We've got to think about that for a minute. He's orchestrating them, gently guiding our steps and supplying for our needs in ways that we often could not even begin to imagine. When we rightly understand providence, our hearts can rest, knowing that the God who calls us is the same God who provides for us, sustains us, and upholds us with unfailing faithfulness. God is working in every detail of every circumstance in the universe. He's the ruler of all that exists. And he is directing everything to his appointed end for them. Puritan theologian Stephen Charnock, in his classic work, Divine Providence, wrote, "As God made all things for himself, so he orders the ends of all things for his own glory. Being the most excellent and wise agent, he directs all the motions of his creatures to that end for which he made them. In other words, and what I think is so crucial and beneficial for us to understand is that it's God himself that orchestrates the events of our lives. His divine providence is orchestrating each and every situation, including the trials that we encounter, for his intended purpose and for our ultimate good. Paul in Ephesians 1:11, he tells us that God works all things after the counsel of his will. The truth is that God wills everything that happens in our lives. And I know that this concept might be really, really hard for some of us. And I can understand that. But if we truly know God, if we truly know God, it can become one of the greatest sources of comfort for us. Jerry Bridges, in his devotional 31 Days to Trusting God, wrote, "The bare thought that God does only as he pleases would terrify us. If that were all we knew about God. But God is not only sovereign, he says, he is also perfect in love and infinite in wisdom. God always exercises his sovereignty for his glory and the good of his people." End quote. When we truly grasp the meaning of divine providence, how God is, he orchestrates every event and works through every circumstance in our lives, we begin to see that even when Satan acts, he can only move within the boundaries God has set for our ultimate good. Elizabeth Elliot once wrote, "If my life is surrendered to God, all is well. Let me not grab it back as though it were in peril in his hands, but would be safer in mine." As we grow in our assurance that God is providentially sovereign over all things, we also grow in our realization that we no longer need to fear, worry, or dread about what comes our way. Instead, we can rest. We can rest in the confidence that God's power and steadfast love are working in every situation, shaping our faith and drawing us closer to him. This understanding, it enables us to receive from God's hand whatever he wills, trusting that his perfect wisdom and love are accomplishing his glory and our greatest good. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 22. One of the first times that the idea of divine providence is mentioned in Scripture is here in Genesis 22. And this is fascinating, and when rightly understood, it brings so much comfort. In Genesis 22, God tested Abraham's trust by commanding that he sacrifice his son, Isaac. Isaac's death would mean ending the promise of the Abrahamic covenant. This covenant promised land, seed, and blessing. Seed referred to descendants, and through the scriptures, we come to find out that the actual seed promised is Jesus Christ. So ending this covenant would be a really big deal. Abraham, understanding the importance of this covenant to the degree that he was able, could have protested. He could have refused. He waited how many years for this son? He could have questioned God's wisdom, but he didn't. Hebrews tells us why. Abraham considered, to think through, to ponder, to meditate on, that God was able to raise people even from the dead. Abraham did not react with subjective emotions, but reasoned with objective truth. He considered who God is and who it was who was asking him to do this. So in Genesis 22, 9 and 10, in obedience to God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, he prepared to offer Isaac, his son of promise, as a sacrifice. As he's about to slay his son, we know the story, God intervened, staying his hand. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket. God had provided a substitute. This event not only introduces to us the idea of substitutionary atonement, which finds its ultimate fulfillment in the substitutionary death of Christ, but also at the same time introduces to us this idea of divine providence. Genesis 22:14 tells us that Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." Yahweh, Yeh. The Hebrew term Yeh, it might be known, you might know this word better by its more common English pronunciation, Jireh. Have you heard of that? Name of God, Jehovah Jireh. And it literally means, that word literally means to see, or to see to it. It highlights for us the fact that God's sight is never passive. Whenever he sees, he also acts. And in this passage, seeing and supplying are inseparably linked. God sees our needs and faithfully provides for us according to his purpose. Dr. Abner Chow, reflecting on this incident, highlights an interesting distinction between God's sovereign control and his providence. And you have to pretend Abner's talking. This is great. He says, God is not just in control of all things. He is. Or foreordaining all things. He does. Or sovereignly executing all things. Oh, he does that as well. But he's doing so, keeping us in his sight always. He's doing so, gazing into our lives to make sure that we always have what we need. That's the notion of divine providence. God is always providing for us. His faithfulness is always in every circumstance. He's not just in control. This is caring control constantly. End quote. 2 Chronicles 16:9 further illustrates this truth, declaring, "For the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." God is not like an earthly ruler who relies on servants to report what's happening in the kingdom. His providential care is direct, immediate, and unceasing. Angels, yes, they serve as his agents, but he himself is ever vigilant, always watching over his people. This means that everything we experience, even the trials and the hardships, are graciously given to us by God and carefully designed to fulfill his purposes and to accomplish our highest good. Puritan John Flavel once wrote, "Providence not only undertakes, but perfects what concerns us." So when we face difficulties, we need to see them as God's ordained proving grounds, where our faith and trust are tested, refined, and strengthened. We can rest in the assurance that amid every challenge, God's loving kindness is with us. His providence is continually sustaining and perfecting us. This is caring control constantly at work. Think about this. Because God is sovereign, and in his loving kindness, he providentially orchestrates every circumstance in our lives as a means to perfect us. There is no person, there is no circumstance that can ever frustrate or derail God's purpose for our lives. I'm going to say that again because that was kind of a changing point in my thinking. Because God is sovereign, and in his loving kindness, he providentially orchestrates every circumstance in our lives as a means to perfect us. There is no person, no circumstance that can ever frustrate or derail God's purposes for our lives. Ladies, this should give us great courage, great comfort and hope to trust him even more in the midst of the storms of life. James 1, 2 through 4, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. For the true follower of Jesus Christ, God is working all things together for his glory and our good. I think I heard that like 6 times in our small group this afternoon. He's using trials to expose sin, areas of weakness, and he's doing it all to help us grow in Christ's likeness. And he also uses them to draw us closer to himself and to strengthen the assurance of our faith as he walks with us in each and every trial. The Christian life is intended to be one of continual growth. Sadly, we often resist this process, the very process that he's designed for our good. When we lose sight of God's providence, we doubt his love for us. We seek to escape the trials. I can't tell you how many years I spent just trying to get out of things. We forget that he ordains all things, great and small, according to his perfect will, to bring about our maturity. By focusing only on the trial or the circumstance that we might be in, we risk missing the greatest treasure that God can give us: steadfast, unshakable assurance. The trials God lovingly ordains, they're not meant to discourage us. They're meant to deepen our trust and to anchor our lives in him. Like David in Psalm 62, we're called to look beyond those circumstances with eyes of faith, recognizing the big picture of God's providential work in our lives. Trusting in his continual care and provision, we can anchor our daily habits and actions even more deeply in the unchanging truth of our standing in Christ, knowing that he is always at work, refining, strengthening, perfecting us through every challenge that we face. So recognizing that God's providence is both sovereign and purposeful in every trial, we're led to consider the second key element that we need to rightly understand: the posture that he calls us to embrace as we wait upon him. Point number 2, posture, the necessary attitude. Go ahead and turn back in your Bibles to Psalm 62. 2. Remember verse 1? My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation. If we desire to anchor our daily habits and actions more deeply in the unchanging truth of our standing in Christ to the glory of God, then we must understand and embrace the posture that God calls us to, especially in the midst of trials. A posture marked by silent, trustful, stillness, and unwavering faith. By this time in David's life, by the time he wrote Psalm 62, he had accumulated years of experience in the Spirit's school of faith, enduring countless challenges that tested, refined, and strengthened his trust in the Lord. And through these experiences, the Holy Spirit had developed in him the essential attitude of silent trust, a quality necessary for perseverance that empowered David to live out an unshakable faith, even when faced with difficult circumstances. David in this psalm only gives us enough information to know that he's in some sort of trouble. We don't know exactly what it was he was facing at this moment in time, and we actually don't need to know, because this psalm, it's not about that. This psalm is about the trustworthiness of God. And as we've learned already, He alone is all we need. The posture that David exhibited was silence before God. His soul was silently waiting on God alone. The phrase in our Bible, waits in silence, it's actually just one word in Hebrew. Strong's 1747. It denotes a purposeful quietness, a still expectant hush that looks to God. Far from passively being mute, just not talking, it's poised, reverent silence that restrains rash speech, anchors trusting hope, or hallows worship. One source wrote, it means an unmurmuring submission to God's will. So this silence then, it's not simply an absence of words, but a profound expression of patient, uncomplaining trust. Notice again, as Beck mentioned last night, David doesn't voice a petition or a prayer in this moment. Instead, he deliberately stands firm, exemplifying an attitude of unwavering confidence that God is faithfully working out his plan of salvation or deliverance. David fully understood God's providence. He knew that every detail of his situation was under the divine control and moving toward God's intended outcome. In total submission, David needed only wait in silence before the Lord, trusting that God alone would bring deliverance. Again, such silence was not passive resignation, but an active reliance on God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, which produced a strengthened and refined faith, an unshakable faith that could not, would not be moved by circumstances. How often do we demonstrate that kind of quiet trust? A restful reliance on God that holds firm, even when trials tempt us to complain or doubt. Many of us, myself included, we're quick to voice our discomfort or seek our own solutions. I know a way out of this. When hardships try and disrupt our comfort, what do we try and do? Do we sit silently knowing God is at work, or do we kind of try to wiggle our way out of it? Our attitude often reveals either a misunderstanding of divine providence or a forgetfulness, a faithless neglect of the truth that each circumstance is ordained by God for our good. These very trials are designed to train us to trust more deeply, to expose our weaknesses, reveal our need, and grow our dependence on God alone for deliverance. Through every trial and storm, God is not merely hoping for our growth. God is actively forging it. He's taking our abstract knowledge of His truth and transforming it into an immovable conviction. As we endure, He anchors us even more deeply in the reality that He alone is our rock, our salvation, our stronghold, and proving Himself faithful time and time again, so that our trust becomes unbreakable and our resolve unwavering. Look at verse 2. David's words in verse 2 emphasize his deeply personal relationship with God. He only is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold. For David, God wasn't just a distant power or a vague notion of security. Instead, his faith was rooted in a living, right relationship with God. He experienced an unshakable bond formed through countless encounters with God's faithfulness and mercy. Each time God delivered him, the Spirit was transforming David's trust from an abstract belief, I don't think I'm going to be greatly shaken, into a lived reality, a steadfast confidence that stood firm against every adversary, no matter how formidable. Verses 3 and 4. David describes his enemies who relentlessly sought his downfall. Individuals who delighted in cunning, deceit, and hypocrisy, thinking nothing of lying to achieve their purposes. Sounds like great people. Yet in the face of such determined opposition, David didn't succumb to fear or resort to complaining about those who wished him harm. Instead, he remained steadfast, faithfully standing his ground and placing his unwavering trust in the Lord. Through every trial and encounter with treacherous people, and he had a lot of them, David allowed these circumstances to draw him closer to his God, experiencing anew the Lord's faithfulness as his rock, his salvation, his stronghold. Notice every psalm you read of David just about has these words in it. They were being forged into his life. If you were in WOW with us last season, you remember that Paul too learned the secret of this quiet, unwavering trust, a posture of settled confidence in God's providence that refuses to give in or complain or fear. In Philippians 1:28, Paul urges believers, be in no way alarmed by your opponents. I got a better appreciation for that verse after studying Psalm 62. Paul's encouragement to the Philippians was clear. Don't allow the threats of others or the hardships that you face to shake your assurance in God's steadfast love and perfect will for you. The heart of his message is this: do not be afraid of what the Lord in his sovereignty brings into your life for his glory and your ultimate good. Trust that even through trials, he ordains them. He is shaping you more and more into the likeness of Christ. Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 4:12, not to be surprised by trials, but to rejoice as we share in Christ's suffering, knowing that every difficulty is a means by which God refines our faith and deepens our joy in him. Rather than waste our hardships, God uses them for lasting good, transforming suffering into greater Christ-likeness and hope. Like David, we can wait in silent trust, confident that even in adversity, God is working for our ultimate joy and his glory. As we reflect on the necessary understanding of God's providence in shaping our trials to grow and perfect us, and the necessary attitude that God desires, he calls us to embrace a posture of quiet trust in him. It's also essential for us to understand how he has intentionally placed us for triumph. And this brings us to our third key element, the position God has given us and how in Christ that position secures our confidence and hope. So point number three, the necessary standing, position, the necessary standing. Look at verses 5 and 6. We're still in Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6. David commands his soul to wait quietly for God alone, reminding himself that true hope and deliverance come only from the Lord. He affirms again that God alone is his rock, salvation, and fortress, an unwavering foundation, source of rescue, and place of security. And remember, by calling God his rock, David declared the Lord to be his unshakable foundation. Naming God as his salvation, he affirmed that deliverance comes from God alone. When David called his God his stronghold, he acknowledged that lasting security rests only in God and his promises. Because David belonged to God, he could remain at peace, confident that no threat could overcome him outside of God's sovereign will. In the storms of life, we must remember that our position in Christ means that we are eternally secure. No matter what comes, we can rest in his peace because nothing will ever happen to us outside of God's sovereign, purposeful will. God uses every challenge to draw us closer, teaching us to trust him alone. As we rely on him, our trials become opportunities for God's faithfulness and strength to be revealed as we turn to him in trust time and time again. I appreciate what one source said. Listen to this. He said, David understood that in order for his enemies to get at him, they would have to crush God's protection. In order for his enemies to destroy him, they would have to cancel God's salvation. In order for his enemies to have their way with him, they would have to conquer God's defenses. Look at verse 7. On God, my salvation and my glory rest. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. David recognized that his security, future, and very honor rested solely in God's hand. He understood that only the Lord could be his unwavering strength and sure defense, a refuge where every fear and threat loses its power. In God alone, David found peace and confidence, trusting that nothing could touch him apart from the sovereign care and protection of his Creator. Ladies, no matter what you face, and I know some of you are facing incredible seasons, whatever challenges or uncertainties may arise, you need to remember that you are never alone. Your position in Christ is unshakable. You stand on a foundation that cannot be moved, and you possess resources that will never run out. Jesus is your steadfast rock, your sure salvation, your mighty fortress, and your constant refuge. Because you belong to him, because you've been placed in the body of Christ at salvation, every spiritual blessing is yours. Ephesians 1:3. Every need you have is met according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Through him, you are strengthened for every circumstance. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And you have been equipped for the unique purpose that God has prepared for you, Ephesians 2:8-10. Paul reminds us in Colossians 2:6-7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with thankfulness. Being rooted and established in Christ means you can move forward each day with confidence and gratitude, knowing that he is growing in you the reality of your unshakable faith. Ladies, struggles, they will come. We know that. But take heart. When you embrace all that is yours in Christ, you lack nothing that you need to meet each and every day, each and every circumstance, each and every trial. In him, you have been made complete, Colossians 2:10. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. 2 Corinthians 9:8. Let this fill you with hope, comfort, and peace. God is for you. God is with you. And he's working through you, all for your ultimate good and his glory. Look back at Psalm 62, verse 8. David exhorts us, trust in him at all times. Pour out your hearts before him. We must remember that every trial we face is sovereignly allowed by God for his perfect purposes. Because of our secure position in Christ, we are invited to pour out our hearts to him in prayer. Scripture assures us that he listens to us. He transforms our hearts to align with his will, and he fills us with the strength and the love that we need. For that reason, we truly can call God our refuge, a place of safety and comfort and help in every circumstance. As Isaiah 40:31 assures us, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. One source explains, Isaiah 40:31 teaches us that those who hope in the Lord will exchange their exhaustion for renewed strength. Trusting in God's faithfulness enables believers to rise above challenges, he writes, like eagles who embody power and confidence rooted in their Creator. Lifting our eyes to the Lord and anchoring our hearts in His promises enables us to rise above life's challenges and see them with an eternal mindset. That's another thing we talked about in small group today, an eternal mindset. And this leads us to our final key element, perspective. We've looked at the first three elements that, when rightly understood, help to anchor our daily habits and actions more firmly in the truth of our unchanging standing in Christ. We've looked at providence, posture, and position. Now we turn to the final key element we need to understand, and that's perspective. Perspective, the necessary mindset. Psalm 62, we're going to look at verses 9 to 12. David powerfully demonstrates in these verses that the mindset required for an unshakable life is one anchored in an eternal perspective. He boldly declares that true confidence is found in God alone, the one who is unchanging, sovereign, and infinitely loving. Ladies, our God is not simply unique. Our God is the one and only, the great eternal I Am, whose power and loving kindness never diminish. David's enemies, they had built their hope on shifting sand, on human schemes, fleeting status, and the ill-gotten gains of oppression. Yet, as David reminds us, these are nothing. He says they are lighter than a breath. Because these are false foundations, they will crumble. But those who build their hope in the character and promises of God, they are truly secure. It's God alone who orchestrates every detail of our lives according to His perfect will, working all things together for His glory and our good. In Psalm 94, 18 and 19, the psalmist proclaims, if I should say my foot has slipped, your loving kindness, O Lord, will hold me up. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. This is the heart of eternal perspective. Trusting that even when we falter, and we will, God's steadfast love is our sustaining strength, and His comfort brings joy amidst the storm. Jesus Himself assures us in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Because Christ has triumphed, we can face every hardship with courageous hope, knowing victory is already won. If you sense anxiety or a lack of peace, let it be a gentle call to realign your perspective. Fix your eyes anew on the one whose strength and loving kindness are sufficient for every trial. One whose strength and loving kindness will never fail. In Psalm 62, David helps us to remember that as true followers of Jesus Christ, we're held firmly in the hands of an all-powerful, unfailing God. Be encouraged. Your trials have purpose. God is using every circumstance to shape you into the image of Christ, empowering you to soar above life's challenges with unshakable faith. You can stand strong, trusting Him deeply. Remember, He will never fail you. In Jerry Bridges' little but profound devotional, 31 Days Towards Trusting God, I've quoted from it several times. All of you are actually going home with this tomorrow. It's a great book. It's a devotional, 31 days. It'll get you right ready for WOW. In this book, he wrote of the necessity of trials by way of the Cecropia moth. It's a little bit of a longer quote, but he writes, "One of the many fascinating events in nature is the emergence of the Cecropia moth from its cocoon. An event that occurs with much struggle on the part of the moth to free itself. The story is frequently told of someone trying to help a moth through the struggle by snipping the cocoon. The moth soon emerges with its wings crumpled and shriveled and weak. In a few moments, the insect would have stretched its wings to fly, but was now doomed to crawl out its brief life in frustration of never being the beautiful creature God created it to be. What the person in the story didn't realize was that the struggle to emerge from the cocoon is an essential part of developing the muscle system of the moth's body and pushing the body fluids out to the wings to expand them. The adversities we face are much like the cocoon of this moth. God uses them to develop the spiritual muscle system of our lives. We can be sure," he writes, "that the development of a beautiful Christ-like character will not occur in our lives without adversity." So in closing, as we reflect on the four essential principles that we looked at this morning and the four key elements that we just covered, each drawn from Psalm 62, we're reminded of the unshakable foundation we have as true followers of Christ who place our trust wholly in God. These four principles, trusting God alone, trusting God always, trusting God adamantly, and trusting God for assurance, they call us to anchor our faith, not in fleeting circumstances or in our own strength, but in the enduring character and nature of our Creator. Each principle invites us to place our hope, our confidence and security in the one who is eternally steadfast, whose love and power are unchanging. The four key elements that we just looked at, providence, posture, position, and perspective, they remind us that each situation and trial is shaped by God's purposeful hand, enabling us to wait upon God with an attitude of silent, unwavering faith. Our position in Christ assures us a final victory, and by keeping an eternal perspective, we can face each day knowing that His Spirit is ultimately growing us to more clearly reflect His glory and developing within us an unshakable character. tomorrow Denise is going to guide us in applying the truths that we've learned this weekend so that our unshakable faith becomes not just an aspiration, but a lived reality in our daily walk. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your courage and peace, trusting that you use every trial to shape us into the likeness of Christ and strengthen our faith. As we surrender each area of our lives to you through every season, every hardship, may our lives become living testimonies, steadfast, unwavering, and anchored in the truth of our unshakable standing in Christ. Lord, may we embrace these truths each day, allowing your hope to inspire our actions and reflect your glory in all that we do. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen.